It's Christmas album types.
Yeah. He do got with Rudolph the Red-Nosed Reindeer. Had a very shiny nose.
That's the worst Christmas song of all time.
Somebody Rudolph used to, Rudolph, I think Coach used to have that on. This is like ringtone or something. Rudolph.
Makes me not want to buy gifts for anybody.
Got my goddamn headphones, boy. Amani.
He got you using the shitty ones, huh? It be like that sometimes.
Huh? You need headphones? I'm doing everything right now.
He the audio. Yeah, he the audio.
I'm making sure everybody sounds straight.
We used to all have them, but
I never had them.
Fuck that. Nah.
I don't want no headphones, man.
The voices in your ear be kind of weird sometimes.
Nah, I don't want that shit.
Hearing yourself.
I just want, like, you know.
Nah, it just lets me know that everything is going to be easy to edit. You know what I'm saying? I just got to make sure.
Mid-show changes, mid-show edits, mid-show tunes.
Yeah.
You know?
Yes, sir.
Fixing it up and whatnot.
Yeah, man. Yeah, yeah.
Man, we here.
Yeah, we here, man.
It's beautiful.
How y'all doing, man?
Excellent. Living the dream, man, you know.
Yeah, you know. Dream right now. Yeah. We took last week off, you know.
Yeah, facts.
You know, so... You know, everybody holiday was good, everything.
Oh, yeah.
You know, it was right before Thanksgiving. Good times. Chilling. Yeah.
Got to see some family and all of that, you know, ate some food and whatnot.
I was thinking, like, what holiday was it?
Yeah.
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, I'm living a little bit.
You got to make sure you on the pause.
Talking into the mic.
Oh. Yeah.
Ain't no moment. I saved myself.
I got you.
I got to be a little bit more discretionary about how I use the button.
Yeah, I appreciate you. You used good judgment.
Thanksgiving has been different, man.
You know what you mean?
Like, just lately, it's been less and less family. You know what I'm saying? For me, my wife always, she would cook, you know, for the house, but, you know, sometimes my sister-in-law will come by, or, you know, even if we went over to my aunt's house, it would be more family over. But, you know, it's just been thinning out. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, pretty much she cooked here and we all ate here, chilled, then went to my aunt's house, sat there for about maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours, and then came back.
Yeah, it was a different vibe this year. I feel like this was kind of like a forgettable Thanksgiving. I don't know why.
Yeah, for sure. It was just dinner.
Yeah, and for us, shit, my aunt didn't even feel like cooking. She the one that normally cooks, which I get it. You want to take a year off because that's a huge motherfucking task.
Yeah.
So we went out to Maggiano's, but that's an Italian joint.
Yeah, yeah.
So then we left there and went to Hermona's people's house, and that's African food.
Yeah.
So I didn't actually have any real food.
Ain't no Thanksgiving food. You ain't get no mashed potato stuff.
Nah, I ain't get no mashed potatoes.
Yeah, I know you're upset about that.
Yeah.
And then to top it off, I got sick.
It's crazy.
Caught what? What you catch?
I'm still not even sure, bro.
COVID-20, COVID-22. What you had?
Not even sure.
Something crazy.
I don't want it again.
Hey, you should be immune to it now. You should be all right, man. Fingers crossed.
Yeah.
Get real sick, you start thinking of rethinking your life and your choices.
It'd be like that with the sickness, man. All I did was smoke extra amounts of weed, you know what I mean? And like celebrate with people. You know, I'm not a big eater like that. You know what I'm saying? I like to fast, you know what I'm saying, for real? And eat something quality. So when the holidays come, people get excited for food. I'm not excited. Like, we've been having this since kids.
Facts.
And like y'all saying, the roots of it is different. So it's like the family's not there, so the OGs are not representing on the plates like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? The food don't taste the same. The vibe not the same. So we kind of got to smaller gatherings, you know what I mean? We meeting with smaller families now.
Yeah.
It's still intimate. It's still love. It's still peace. It's still the vibe, but it just feels like it's something different.
No, it's just like,
what's different?
To us, when our grandfather passed, all of it went downhill with like family reunions and all that. Like, I think the grandfather was like the backbone for us, you know, especially them OG grandfathers who was like working men and hardcore, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, not taking nothing from what's going on now, but the OGs who was like real stand-up men. Once they died off, you know, then it was left on the women to get stuff together. I mean, they organized. But in my family, my grandfather had 8 daughters. You know what I'm saying? Mm. So it's like our Thanksgiving was like mad food, mad kids, mad
Facts.
Cousins.
Mm-hmm. Facts.
You know, like a lot of people. And like y'all saying, it dwindled out.
That's the same thing. My grandfather had three daughters. Right. You know what I'm saying? So like my grandma was cooking. It, you know, the my cousins was there. It was just a, you know, bigger family thing. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, and even I mean, even when I was married with Ebony, like it was. She will cook for the house so that we had something to come back home to, so we ain't like grabbing plates from everywhere. Right. But we would leave there and then go to her family's house. Mm-hmm. It's packed in that joint. Like you can't even move around. You know what I'm saying? It's everybody there. Then I'll leave there and go to my family's house. And you know what I'm saying? That's about time for dessert and shit. But everybody's still there chilling, right. watching right. a movie or watching the late game or whatever. It was just, you know.
I mean, I feel like a lot of that is positive and negative though, because that's a mixture of growth. Which is the positive, you know what I'm saying? People growing and, right. you know, unfortunately, a lot of, not a lot of family, but some family is family that you were, quote unquote, forced to be around. You yeah. know what I'm saying? And yeah. now you at your holiday. And do I really want to go all the way to whatever, to hook up with so-and-so? I love them, but yeah. nah, I'm good. I'm not going, we don't have a relationship. I'm not going all the way out there. Right. And the yeah. other piece is the negative, which is, unfortunately, people pass away. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And sometimes you, like he was saying, like Drew was saying, sometimes you lose your anchors. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like dude. I know in my family, at least, it's very, very similar. Like, we lost my grandma and grandpa. They were the big anchors, but my aunt used to hold it together nonetheless. They make sure that we all came together. Right. When she passed, now it's kind of loose leaf, you know what I'm saying? Yeah, this year, right. my cousin and his wife were missing because they just was like, yeah, we can't make it, sorry. Yeah. Yeah, wasn't even a right. big deal, so.
Because it's like you had that one person that's holding like yeah. four or five different families together, mm-hmm. right? And then that person goes, and
it was the meeting
each
place.
Each individual yeah. family kind of goes it was their the meeting own place. Direction, yeah. but then is it not our responsibility to carry on the traditions and to be the one?
We at that age now.
You know what I'm saying? To step up to the plate.
And that's what it be. That's what I was saying, though, it right. depends on your growth. So mm-hmm. for some people, it's about how much you love and how mm-hmm. much you want to do that and blah, blah, blah. For others, like for me, it's a little more difficult. I love my cousins. We grew up together as kids, but like I'm not chasing to make sure that we have yeah. Thanksgiving right, together, right. but I do want it to. You yeah. know what I'm saying? Like this year when we doing a Christmas, we like a lot of people have busy schedules. So sometimes we like Thanksgiving this year, we did it on Sunday instead mm-hmm. of the actual Thanksgiving.
Yeah.
So I went to my cousin's house. So they was like, Christmas, what are we going to do? I was like, man, look, we need to do it the actual day. Like, I'm one of those. If we don't do it the actual day, it's not really the same.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. Facts. Yeah, I feel you.
Trying to force sure. a little something to keep it together. But at the same time, people busy, man. People got lives. Busy. People got kids. Like, sometimes everything yeah. just don't work out.
I think that's also the other thing, too. With my family, I'm trying to create my own family traditions. Yeah. You feel what I'm saying? So, you know, I'm trying to pass it along so that they have something they can remember when they go to, off to school and come back home. It's like, you know. That's why I told him, I think it's okay to keep cooking Thanksgiving because they love it. You know what I'm saying? It's something right. that they look forward to probably when they get older. Man. It's like for them. You know what I'm saying? The family might grow bigger. We're gonna be grandparents one day. You know what I'm saying? So we'll be that glue or that person. My brother, he has kids. Me and him the only ones that got kids. You know what I'm saying? So they be tight. That we can create our own little, you know, family type of shit. You know what I'm saying? That we used to have. So mm-hmm. it's just now it's just, you know, it's that dead spirit space, I guess, until that shit kick off. Because a lot of people from our generation about to start becoming grandparents. Right. You know what I'm saying?
Right.
Not me, but you know what I'm saying? 40 plus.
A lot of them already are.
Yeah. A lot of them are. Yeah, yeah. So like, yeah, it's just that time. So, yeah. Maybe there'll come a time when I won't be sad and lonely. Welcome back to another episode of A-Man Say Man. It's your boy Nick G. And to my left, I got my brother Remnant Model in the building.
You already know.
And I got my man Steph all the way over to the far right.
Peace.
And look, today we got a special guest, my homie, my partner in rhyme, hip hop, whatever right now so far. The one and only shit, Born Divine, artistically known as Andrew Jackson, is in the building. Peace. You know what I'm saying? You can hear the talk, see the fly. For sure.
The applause button.
Yeah. And it'd be right.
What? Because
I
was that glad to be here?
No. He said,
nah, just in general, hit the applause button.
Oh, I thought you said hit the applause button. We actually have an applause button.
Oh yeah, no.
Okay. Yeah, I thought it's okay.
That's post production. You know what I'm saying? I'll take care of that on the back end. It'll definitely be an applause. Now you've already heard it. For sure.
Nah, peace, man. It's good to be here, man. Glad to tap in with y'all.
Mm-hmm.
And I just want to say this first, because I told Nick G I was going to say it. the reason I had to pull up like Birdman, the reason I had to pull up is because when I watched the Superfly show, and it came a topic of the artist of the year. And I know Nick G's humble. So he didn't throw himself in the ring with Superfly. So I said, oh, and they're not mentioning Nick G and Andrew Jackson. So we got to kick the door in with this TNT. We got to go with Superfly too. So I hit Nick G up immediately and like, let's get busy. Mm-hmm. So I just want to give y'all props on the feedback from part one to say y'all in this room are a lot of reasons we came back so early because we got feedback. Sometimes nowadays I feel like artists are looking for so much feedback with social media. They're looking for a big response. And it's like, yo, if I get real, true, genuine feedback from solid people, I don't need a lot of people. Like, I've been rocking with Twin over the years. So, like, if Big Twin know I got bars, I don't got to go get 1,000 people to agree to that. I just feel like I got to just stay doing what I'm doing with my motion and get with solid people like Nick G to get that motion expanded.
No, for sure.
Yeah. It's just weird, man. It's shit's been popping off, you know, Paul, since I met homie. You know what I'm saying? And it's, you know, it's February. It was like February 20, you know, of this year. And I just came across this stuff and it was dope. I liked it. I felt like he fit some of this the music I was making. So I, you know, sent him some stuff, and you know, I think we talked about how Superfly came about. You know what I'm saying? Just off the pure beat tape and everything like that. Mm. So I'm sending him joints like that, and it just came, you know. But this one here, bro, Superfly 2 was curated way different. He hit me up at the end of September and said, He actually sent me the picture of Superfly TNT. And yeah, I'm like, what the fuck is this? Like, you know what I'm saying? He was like, you know it's a part two.
Right.
I said, part two to what? I thought the remake was with the homie who was playing Eazy-E.
Oh, yeah, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. I know what you're talking about.
He was like, nah, man, they did another joint and it was overseas and shit. I'm like, it's called Superfly TNT. So I went on YouTube, started looking at the shit. I'm like, yo, all right, bet. And then he was like, the TNT could be the drums. I was like, word. I said, you know what I'm saying? Because it was like, you know, everybody's not, you know, used to the drumless tracks and the soulful loops and stuff like that. And the person just rapping over that shit without no beat.
Mm-hmm.
People want to hear the beat. So, shit, I just started sending him beats, you know? And then as I'm doing that, the beats I'm sending him, I'm listening to him. It's like, all right, and this go together. This go, it was so many joints that he already started fucking with that I was like, yeah, nah, we ain't going to fuck with that one.
Cause I'm gonna jump on it.
Yeah.
Just
whoa.
Good one. Now I'm just saying, in the aspect of the instrumentation, if somebody takes the time out to make something and craft it, and they pitch an idea or shoot it across, and we in an album mode or creative mode, they might see something further down the line, especially at this caliber production. So I'm gonna jump on the track because I don't know where their placement is, because we're not talking about having anything lined up. You know what I'm saying? So he might shoot me a joint. Because it was one joint we did. Remember, I did a verse off of one joint. But it just...
And it was supposed to be the intro. It had the intro skit and everything to it. And it was supposed to be open the joint. And I was like, nah, it's not it. But I'm glad. Like, I feel like... So what happened after that was, you know, I started to... What I had to do was make a beat tape for him. And so in crafting this Superfly 2, I wound up making another beat tape. Send it to him, and he just did what he did. You know what I'm saying? And then as that's going on, I'm starting to get more ideas because, like I told him in the text, I said, just like Illmatic is everybody, they just know it's a classic and it's a, you know, cult favorite. A lot of people will say that It Was Written was their favorite.
Yeah, that's one of my favorites.
You know what I'm saying? So I wanted to make my It Was Written on this joint.
Right.
This is my It Was Written.
That's what he told
me. The first one, yeah, people be like, yo, that shit was fine. You know, it was good. Yeah. It was, you know what I'm saying? Classic, whatever. But this one, yeah, nah, everybody gonna be like, yo, this is my favorite. They gonna be playing joints from this joint for sure. You know what I'm saying? So, yeah, I'm excited about this album, bro. You know what I'm saying? But,
this joint's gonna be good.
Yeah, for sure, man.
Production's crazy, man.
Yeah.
And a lot of people got that sophomore jinx, but the way Nick G laid it out with that, like he said, that movie format. And kind of like how we did with The Pure, a lot of it was already there. So that gave me the energy also to go in and recreate again, because the Pure was kind of like you said, the blueprint of the foundation, because we created something great, but it was already laid out. He didn't get a chance to really create no beats for me. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, damn, you know what I mean? We didn't really get a chance to really work. So it's like, let's do the Superfly 2 joint. Let's add the drums. Let's do the things that we didn't get to do. Let's not wait a year. How we used to be when we was coming up. You had to wait.
Facts. You had to wait forever.
5 years.
Yeah.
10 bullshit. Years for a sequel.
Mm-hmm. They don't work in today's music.
You know what I'm saying? So, and also the feedback from y'all was like, you know, when Nick G was like, you know, because it worked out how I wanted it, because Nick G was like, yeah, you know, first they was liking it, but now they like, yeah, Andrew Jackson, yo, that shit is.
Yeah. Yeah, I was telling what you said, Steph. I was telling somebody, Andrew Jackson fire. Because you told me, he's like, yo, he fire. At first, I ain't really fucking with it.
Snuck
like
up
that.
On me
Yeah.
And that's how it was when I heard Rock Marcy. You know what I'm saying, though? Because I had to listen. And that's what how I wanted my style to come out. I wanted to take it back to people listening to lyrics, God. Like, so many people get a dope beat and they don't do nothing with it.
Right.
They just ride the beat and make a little cadence. Yeah, and I'm like, yo, I don't never want to be like that. Mm-hmm. I want to keep the lyrics intact, you know what I mean, and do something unique and something passionate and something crafty. So Nick G, he was always on some take it to the streets vibes. So I was like, well, let's go Superfly when I came with the title, because when you're dealing in that life, you're going to keep it hidden. You're not really going to talk about everything you're doing and where you at and how you meeting up. You're going to say certain things so people get the idea to be like, I know what he's talking about. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Oh, yeah, I know about that. You know what I'm saying? And you keep painting it and painting it and painting it. People are like, that's a great book. That's a great film. Mm-hmm. Like I said, we shooting The Godfather versus shooting A Menace to Society or Boys in the Hood. It's nothing wrong with Menace to Society and Boys in the Hood. We love them.
Right.
But we trying to, off this production, we trying to shoot 5-star films. So when that TNT came, it was like, all right, when he said that, it was written, because that's one of my joints.
Yeah.
Because I'm like, even The Infamous Worst Hell on Earth. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying?
I feel you.
And the leap in the lyrics.
Yeah, it was different.
I was like,
crazy.
We got to keep it elevated. Mm-hmm. So that was my mentality going in.
Yeah, for sure. And that's what, like I said before, like you give me a Nas reference, you know, like feeling, you know what I'm saying? Girl. Like, you know, AZ and I know it's Brooklyn,
Twin,
you know.
Core,
it's
Mega.
Like all those shit is like you embody Queensbridge and the 90s.
They talk slick. Like they not just gonna come out and say, I got 3 keys in the trunk.
Right.
I'm gonna give you niggas what you want.
are those dudes that like influence your style though? Like,
yeah, those are my peoples. Like, yeah. I anybody like that in the hip hop community, I call them my uncles. Like, my uncles is like AZ, Nas, Raekwon, and Ghost. How they switch up and paint pictures, and they don't wait for you to get it, or they don't care if you get it. Like, I'm like Sky Blue Franks. My mind's a briefcase. You know what I'm saying? It's like that's 2 dope statements, but it's like I'm not waiting and taking long to deliver information. You know what I'm saying? I feel like a lot of artists, like he said, we the Eric B and Rakim. So when you say that, I'm thinking like I write like Rakim in the aspect of I don't worry about bars. I'm writing in the timing that I have.
Right.
I know this is hook time. I know this is beat time. I got all this time on beat time to say what I need to say. So in the studio, they like, nah, keep your energy here. Good. You doing this. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm used to just painting. So that's why I was doing a drumless for years. Because when I came up, I was rapping this style anyway, to how we doing on TNT.
Yeah.
But I started learning to develop other styles because it's like shooting left-handed. I want to be good with both hands.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, if somebody think I'm losing them, I'm not. And most MCs will keep giving you the same cadence and the same cadence and the same cadence. I love them. They great. But it's like, we've been getting the same cadence for like 5 months, 5 projects. And it's like, yeah, it's good for the listeners, but for people who like us, who die hard hip hop fans, we feel deprived because we want something new.
Yeah.
Because it's like a business, it's like a PlayStation. We want the PlayStation 5, and then we want the 6, and then we want the 7. We don't want to keep the same PlayStation 5 for 10 years.
Right.
While you rhyming. You know what I'm saying? We want to see the growth and development of the culture, especially when you're in there getting it and you acting like you got it and it's millions involved. You know what I'm saying? And you got millions of people following and millions of people in agreement with that, because now they're saying hip hop is bad because everybody's just getting on. And it's like, nah, everybody not just getting on. It's just y'all just accepting anything and claiming it as hip hop. Mm-hmm. That's why I was under that grunge hop shit. You know what I'm saying? Like, I'm gonna go against the grain for so long. Mm-hmm. And then when they think that I can't go with the grain, when I come with the grain, they're gonna be like, oh, wow. Like, nah, of course.
Yeah.
Right. You know, so what's your dislikes in hip hop right now?
I'm gonna tell you the truth. I don't listen to a lot of it, King, so it don't bother me. You know what I'm saying? Because I'm from a different era. I'm from 1981.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, though? So it's like I actually seen it come into play. So I do the era I love. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, though? And I cater to the fans that I love, you know what I'm saying, who love the Wu's and the era that we come from. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The Loud Records, you know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. The era of the music we like. But I'm from the New Jack Swing era. You know what I'm saying? I'm from the Teddy Rileys and all that before the hip-hop really popped off. Right. You know what I'm saying? So I love the soulful beats and the samples, and I really love the music. You know what I'm saying, though? So I listen to a lot of oldies. Like, I'm coming up here listening to Chaka Khan and shit. You know what I'm saying? Smoking weed.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So I don't listen to a lot of artists, but I do like Bodie James, you know what I'm saying? Yeah. And stuff like that. Mm-hmm. Where I listen to The Price of Tea in China with him and Alchemist. And I really got inspired, and I started to really get more into my aspects of embracing being from the South. And I started saying things like how I say, still smelling like cash when I let the bath out. You know what I'm saying? Like, letting the bath out is like some Southern shit that people say, let that bath water out. You know what I'm saying? It's like, so I incorporated that based off the fact that Bodie James incorporated his own slang. Because I get the Nas comparisons all the time. Mm-hmm. But when I incorporate the Southern way we talk and the way that we have our own thing, then it makes it come bring it back home. You know what I'm saying? Because I am paying homage to New York. I'm paying homage to Queens. But I'm also paying homage to the fact that we got our own thing over here where we at. You know,
right? True.
And I'm paying homage to our era. Like Gunn and them doing it.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
we
facts.
Doing it our way.
Facts. Okay. Yeah. Because the sound, like, I'm influenced by Griselda, and this, everything he's saying is the same shit that I'm on. You know what I'm saying? That's what made this
shit. That's why y'all work, though.
Yeah, that's why I work. Right? You know what I'm saying? Because I want to bring back that boot camp click. It's type of sound. Like, I want to bring back that Black Moon. That shit used to be Chris Smith and West. All that shit was crazy. Beat Miners was them niggas, man. You know what I'm saying? So, here comes the young Peace, God. Son. Why don't you just take the chair and scoot it back that way towards the door? Or you can sit right there. It don't matter. Fuck it. Come on. Sit down, brother. Well, hey.
Well, take the mic.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Just go ahead, man. So I wanted to ask y'all, though. So
wake your ass up next time, nigga.
When you first heard his beats, did you feel like, all right, this the producer for me? Like, this.
I'm going to tell you how deep it get with me, guy. It's like, everything is mental, you know what I'm saying? And when I first met Nick G, we was at HR Records. But prior to that, I was having a conversation with Judah. And I was doing a lot of, like we say, the drumless production, which led me to Nick G. But I'm loyal and I listen to what somebody tells me to do. So he was like, next move, we're going for better production. So I allow things to come to me, you know what I'm saying? Because then I know it's for me. You know what I'm saying? So when we was at HR Records, Nick G was talking to Devin the Rapper.
Devin the Rapper,
And I didn't want to be disrespectful, so I ain't say nothing. But I'm like, damn, there go Nick G. But I knew him and Judah had a project they was working on. So I'm like, damn, he must be tough. You know what I'm saying? But I can't get to him because he talking to the God over there. You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I'm just in the cut. And then just so happens, when I go home, he's on my joint watching and liking the video.
Pause. It was not on your joint.
on the website. Damn, man. She said itself, or he wanted to put himself in the pause line.
I want to clear the air.
He jumped up and shot himself.
That was crazy.
Man. Nobody was thinking like that.
I'm just saying. Himself,
man.
Whoa.
But it's cool, man. You know what I mean? He was on the website, the Instagram joint, and he seen the video, and it'll be a rough one. He seen the video, and he was enjoying the music, man. And then I think he hit me up or sent me some tracks, and then he sent me the track, and I had did the Uncut Gems joint, and then when I looked, because I also be looking for synchronicity, so I looked and he had the Pure joint up there, but he also had a project that had
Uncut Gems, my first beat tape of 2023.
Yeah, right. And I had already done an Uncut Gems joint.
That was 2023.
That was 2023.
Yeah, Uncut Gems album with another producer, so I'm looking at that as synchronicity number one. Then it's like, damn, he got the other joint. And then I'm doing the Project Muse joint. And then a lot of references from that was from the
Superfly
aspect of the Love Jones joint.
The Love Jones. Oh, true.
Project
Blues for Nina. Blues for Nina.
Yeah, he had that joint up there.
Yeah.
So I was already working on a female project. So he kind of matching, you know, areas of aspects I'm already going.
Right,
you know
what I'm saying? Right.
So then he hit me up, like, yo, you should check out this. I think, I don't know what track you sent me first.
I the first joint I think I sent you was the Billionaire Brainwaves beat, bro.
Yeah.
I think it might have been.
Check out the Pure.
I sent you Billionaire Brainwaves, and I sent you Ransom Note. Ransom Note was the fuck is the song? Doing Numbers.
Doing Numbers.
Yeah.
What beat joint was Billionaire Brainwaves on? Was that a Blues for Nina?
That was
great. No, it wasn't on anything.
He made that.
So then I sent him those two, and I was like, all right, yo, you might want to check out my beat tape because there's joints on that joint. So I sent him the beat tape. And then he started hitting me up and was like, send me this one. Send me Over the Stove. Send me Bourbon Neat. Send me these joints. You know what I'm saying? So I started, because they're short.
Bourbon Neat is my joint.
That's the payoff. Yeah. So he was telling me to send him the full length version of those songs.
Yeah, because I was like, if you can't just take the skits out.
Yeah.
Because to me, it just had so many cocaine references. But it was good, though, because that was also a tone for the Superfly thing. Because I knew the direction he wanted to go, but me being Andrew Jackson and trying to be slick like the Queensbridge artist, I want to be on the low with it. Yeah. So let's do Superfly, because although Superfly was a film with all that in it, it was more so about a brother overcoming everything. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And that's what the undertone of the whole project is, a brother just trying to elevate his whole mind, his whole situation.
And then on top of that, him being an artist, you know what I'm saying? And him having the vision also that matches the music helped out a lot. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, he did this shit on the wall. You know what I'm saying? Right. Like, so.
Trey Songz.
Yeah.
Curtis Bond.
Yeah.
Trey on coke.
Yeah, Trey on coke. Yeah, but nah, man, it's just, you know, it was a great mesh, man. It's like working with Andrew Jackson, bro, is good because he's a producer's, like, I don't want to say, like, you know, I guess, I don't know, I want to say dream.
I just want to say, like, I think it's important.
Producer's best friend.
I think it's important to be a good number two. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
To be able to take instruction, you know what I'm saying, and do it so good that you put it across as if it's your idea.
Yeah, but still giving feedback that works.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? Like, right. You know, just
'cause I told Nick G, I was like, I'm tired of just getting beat packs and then I gotta formulate the whole project myself and put it here and put it there and put it there. So when Nick G come into the picture, Nick G, he already had the Pure joint. So I was like, that's a good chunk. Because I'm like, if we can just take these skits out where it's all about coke from different people, then we can go super fly. We can focus in and keep everything the same and put that audio in. You know what I'm saying? And we can build a universe based off of that.
Right.
And keep the same aspects, but just have it stop jumping around and be focused on one character and bring it like an introduction. So once I heard it, I was like, I feel like this is my first album. Because I made a lot of projects, but the cohesiveness of it made it feel like an album.
Yeah.
Right.
And I'm like, this is an album.
For sure.
Yeah, I mean, personal cohesiveness is a big thing too, though. Like, beyond, like, you know what I'm saying? Everything y'all talking about is all music, you know what I'm saying? And, like, how the music fits. Nick has been looking for somebody with your type of sound. Like, that's, it fits perfectly, but at the same token, the personal aspect behind it too, that we can sit here and do this, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah, have fun.
You can go hit the garage or hit a wood, you know what I'm saying? And hang out. Like, you know what I'm saying? It would be more than just the business.
And he calls me up with a nigga outside of
just the music. That helps with the cohesion as well.
Definitely.
One aspect why I fuck with Nick G so much on the music tip is the aspect that he calls me up on a regular, like sometimes once or twice a week. Yo, how you feeling? You know what I'm saying? Like we in the corner and I'm in the box of Mike Tyson. Like, how you doing, champ? Yo, is you good? What's going on? How you feeling? Yo, I like this joint. Yo, I can't wait for this. Because that keep an artist's head in the game.
But that's the difference between a beat maker and a producer.
Yeah, you keep a focus.
Real shit, you know what I'm saying? I consider myself a producer.
Yeah.
I'm not no beat maker, bro. Like, you know what I'm saying?
You ain't going to drop the product off and be like, yo, bring the money back. You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah, nah.
You're going to sit back and like, yo, this part downtown, this is where we're going to set up shop at. I got Jose over here. Jose going to get us right. This coming Thursday, Friday. That's Nick G.
Yeah,
I got it all laid out for you, and I'll make you the one to make it all look good
And you know what also helps?
You want to go hard. Pause.
To work with
him, you know what I'm saying, to make sure everything go good, because I know he's equally working his hard. It's up early in the morning.
Yeah,
he might hit me before I'm at work. Yo, boo, 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 boo.
Yep.
On the IG. Yo,
yep.
I said, Nick G, yo, watch the way this gonna work. Then there's certain things I would tell Nick G based off metaphysics and based on making knowledge born, and I'd be like, watch how this gonna go. Then it happened. Then I'd be like, boom.
Yeah, for sure.
Because when you're dealing with music, you're dealing with frequency and you're dealing with vibration. And that's the science of this. It's not just about rhyming to be rhyming. It's not just about talking to be talking. Mm-hmm. It's about the influence you have. And that's why I wanted to make Superfly, like I said, paint it clean so that people could see that it's really about people trying to do their best with what they have. You know what I'm saying, though? And what we got is this music. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know what I'm saying? What we got is this combination right here. You know what I'm saying? Facts. We got this energy and we got this vibe and we got a good time. So it's like, let's capitalize off of that.
Right.
That's what I come back for time and time again, because you don't get that everywhere. So like, let's not wait 6 years to be great. Let's just keep going and keep going and keep going, because I enjoy it.
Mm-hmm.
It makes it fun. It's like when you when you shooting movies or you driving race cars with a good race car driver, or you your basketball player who's playing against one of his idols, you know what I'm saying? Like, I couldn't wait to get to this moment and be on the court with this person, and this person is coaching me and getting me to a better position in life and in music.
Because when you love what you do, it's not really like working.
How long it takes.
And that's the whole key to it too. I've been rhyming since I was 15.
Shit, man, you going through the question? You going through look, real quick.
Hold on, you still he's snatching them drinks and pre answers.
Yeah, no bullshit. So look, let me go ahead. We got some questions from my man P. Homie P couldn't be here today, you know what I'm saying? So he sent some stuff in, you know what I'm saying, that he wanted to ask our brother Andrew Jackson here. So first question from P is, how long have you been rapping?
Yeah, I've been rhyming since I was 15 in high school.
Word. Okay.
And was in the talent shows. And shout out to my music teacher, because he would actually write letters so I could come to music instead of going to normal class, just so I could work on music. Like, that's how... Not bragging, but like, that's how much people believed in me for so long. Right. So like you're saying, when you're saying time,
right?
I'm not one of those people who's in a rush, you know what I'm saying? And that's, some people get mad at me for it because they like, nah, you got it. And that's why I'm with people who not yes men, you know what I'm saying? Because it's like, I'm a step when they say step and move when they say move, because we all playing chess, but they can see the board from different angles that I can't see.
Right.
So I'm explode when they say explode. So when Judah say get the better production, step it up a notch.
Yo, where you at, Steph?
What you mean? First off, this needs to be crazy. A person's job.
It is. It's my job. I usually hold it down.
All you do, you don't talk. You just push the fucking
pause. I normally hold it down, but you over there lacking. You requested it today.
Yeah, you want it back?
The vocals is too racist to drop to get caught.
Okay. Hold on.
No, I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
All right, but continue with the question.
Yeah, go ahead. Keep going.
Next question.
Next question is... 15.
Pause.
Who were your influence? Who were you influenced by in hip hop growing up, and why?
Nas.
Okay,
and AZ.
Of course, Nas. I thought Nas was great with the Poetics. Of course, Jay-Z, though. It took a while for me to get used to Jay-Z, because back then it was Volume 1. You know, Reasonable Doubt was out, but I love Reasonable Doubt, but it was so many tracks. You know what I'm saying? So it's hard for me to compare Reasonable Doubt to Illmatic, when Illmatic was such a short track and Jay-Z had like a lot of tracks. So I'm like, there's no way that this guy is, you know what I'm saying?
It's like, what, 10 to 13, though?
What?
It was 13 on Reasonable Doubt.
Yeah, the album's about 20 minutes longer.
Yeah, I know.
Okay.
It's longer. Pause. Yeah.
Yo.
I was there.
But you know what I'm saying? So like,
I was fixing my jacket. Sorry. Fell on the
ground. Of course, Nas and Jay. Biggie was dope. Like I said, Ray, Wu. But of course, Boot Camp Click, the whole Boot Camp Click, because that really showed me how to rhyme. And when I say show me how to rhyme, of course, everybody was rhyming, but Boot Camp Click was rhyming in such a fashion with their cadence that you could get into it and you knew when the rhymes was coming. It was like they was a polished up old school version of rap. You know what I'm saying? Like Sterang Wonder. You know what I'm saying? Like how he would come in and you like, damn, or like Buckshot, just their cadence, the way they would wait to deliver it.
Yeah.
So that started getting my ear open to being able to deliver rhymes myself and help me be a better spitter.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Because I'm like, this is how they talking on the mic. Razor sharp vocals, man. I'm not gonna get caught by the pause button.
My man P said
in public with me, I'd be catching people slipping too much.
Also, P says he hears Rock Marciano when he listens to you. Are you a 5%er? If so, how does that play into your raps?
Yeah, peace to the nation of gods and earth. You know, peace to Born King Allah. You know, 5%er plays into the raps because 5%ers are the originators of all things. You know what I mean? When hip hop was originated, you know, the gods originated and formulated it, because that's the culture. You know, that's one of the aspects of supreme mathematics, is the culture. That's the fourth degree. So we used to build in a cipher, and that's a circle, you know, and that's your people, places, and things. And hip-hop artists used to rap about the people, places, and things in their life when they would do their music, and they would talk about information that was going on in their cipher when they would do music. You know what I mean? It just so happens that later it became hip-hop and it became commercialized. Mm. But when it started at the root, it was a way to get message across, information across. Mm. So it plays into my projects by being righteous and not talking all reckless about cocaine. And even when I talk about sexual things, I put it in a way so that it's not just out there blatantly. I can really go Andrew Jackson with it and hide it and cover it up because the babies might be listening. And I don't glorify it. I put it in a way so it's felt like Tupac Shakur. You know what I'm saying? So when it's time to talk righteous like we're talking now, talk about people who are out here making it look bad and people who are out here trying to do a positive thing, hopefully I fall in the line with people doing a positive thing, although I'm doing a super fly project.
Word. Gotcha.
Word. You know word. 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 Mm-hmm. Okay. Word. All right. He says, you don't, I'm about to say my own words. You don't sound like you're the DMV. That's what he...
Yeah, Pete.
You know.
What is his?
Where you from?
You from the DMV?
Well, the aspect of it is my people are from the DMV. I was born in Washington, D.C., but my mom was in the military, so I traveled around. You know, like I was telling Nick G, I consider myself the hip-hop messiah in the aspect of on day one of the hospital, I died from a heart murmur. I was brought back on 3/14/1981.
Welcome back.
You know, yeah, thank you. Welcome back. You know what I'm saying? And then like, and that's how I sync with Judah, because Judah was like, he wanted to find the artist who was from DC. And I was like, check that off. And then I was just on the Eastern Shore. You know what I mean? Which is the country part, the country aspect. So it's like an hour and a half for me to get to DC, an hour and a half to get, for me to get to B-more. It's like 2 hours for me to get to here from my crib. You know what I'm saying? So it's just like, I'm just hiding out like a superhero. And also, I call it the super villain because I'm just watching all these people shine the game and getting right. And I'm like, man, I'm going to fuck these motherfuckers. You know what I'm saying, though? Because they don't know where I'm at. I'm not in a spot where it's a lot of ciphers going on, a lot of artists.
Nah, facts.
I don't have access to all the functions. So when the
motherfuckers
when
don't even know Virginia got a piece of Eastern Shore. Like,
see what I mean?
So, motherfuckers don't even know that.
Yeah, I'm from Chestertown, Maryland. It's a spot called Chestertown, Maryland. I was telling him and his wife about it. It's a very small town, you know. And
they say 19,000?
Yeah, 19,000
people. Yeah.
Population right now, currently.
That's crazy.
Yeah, very small dot. You know what I mean? So, like, if you can make it from there, you can make it anywhere. You know what I'm saying? It's very small. 19,000. Like, so, like, that's why the one joint I was like, I'm from the country, so D.C. is like Manhattan, and Manhattan is hard to fathom. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, when I come to D.C., it's like I'm in Manhattan. I'm like, damn, son.
Right.
Like, yeah. Like, I'm a country mouse.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, though? But it's just that I might sound different on the mic because I'm paying homage to New York. Mm. And I don't want to sound slow, not to take disrespect from the Southern artists, because it's people from even like the DMV, how he's saying that they rap slower. We got so much space and we got so much time and we're rhyming. You know, we got to get the people the rhymes. You know what I'm saying? And like to get back to the Rakim aspect, the Eric B. and Rakim aspect, I'm using my voice like an instrument, like a Miles Davis. You know what I'm saying? So it's like people overseas don't know English. They don't know the words we're saying. So they're going to catch on to the harmonics
100%.
And the melodics of it and be like, damn, yo, I love when he does that. Or I love how he says that. So I fancy myself more like singing with the vocals and trying to use my voice to the best of my ability, because I'm going to get the Nas comparisons based off the tone, like Sean and Biggie Smalls. You know what I mean? Yeah. But the difference is going to come in the lyrics, the delivery, different cadences. Okay.
When did you get there? Like, that's a very strategic thing to do, I feel like, very creative and calculated. Like, you weren't doing that when you were 15, like thinking about using your voice as an instrument so that people overseas could. So when did
Judah,
you have that
Judah, when I met Judah, I was getting ready to get on. These people, you know, they had, before the COVID joint had started off, because that's what stopped the whole operation when COVID came, the person backed out. But Judah was very excited to see me when I met him. And over the whole 4 year span, I've been doing music to kind of make Judah happy. Slowly, though, because I just came out of a bad breakup kind of situation with the people who's going to invest in me. So I didn't want to throw all my cards on the table at once. So I've been stringing Judah along, kind of, you know what I mean, and playing, like I said, like my mind's like fresh. I'm peeping everything and peeping everybody and putting everybody through certain tests. Even if they don't know it, I'm doing certain things to see if their character's going to stand up. You know what I'm saying, though? Because I just came out of people who was going to promise me the world, and then COVID come out, now we got to stop. So it's like, I don't give a fuck about that shit, nigga. We got the fortune to get to.
Yeah, facts.
Like, don't stop in the middle of what keep we grinding. Got on. Yeah, keep running, because we diehard fans, and, like, I'm a diehard fan of the culture. So it's like, you put a plug for me. So it's like, I started doing projects. Judas saw one just the same way Nick G did. He's like, man, I like that. That's fire. And I was like, yeah, man, I'm sorry we couldn't work together, because the people would tell me all these lies about fake numbers he was charging and all this. So I learned quick how the game could go. Mm-hmm. So for 4 years, I'm like, I'm doing it my way. Mm-hmm. I'm rhyming out of the pocket. I'm paying homage to Rock Marcy, the new wave. I'm getting into the grunge hop. I'm doing gritty stuff that's current to let people know that I can do that. But, you know, the nature of how it goes back, like I said, I'm from 81. So I seen hip hop come. So I can do all those people because I've been a student of that. Like a lot of my inspirations from Method Man. Method Man juggles the rhyme. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like when Andrew Jackson is on there, he juggled it. I keep going and keep going. And then when you think it's over, I bring it back.
Yeah.
Too swift for the pause.
You fired, bro.
Come on, yeah, man. Come on, man. Sometimes you gotta let people just. He was in the flow of the moment. You know what I'm saying?
Having the button is a huge responsibility.
Yeah,
it's not.
You can't just be pushing the motherfucker.
Nah, yeah, exactly. See, you can't go crazy.
So when it's really necessary.
Yeah.
Yeah. You save it for prime time.
Yeah.
Prime time.
But nah, that's the reality.
Also, he said, favorite track on the record. What's your favorite track on the record?
I liked Made Men, because when I heard Made Men, you know, it really got me into the essence of the villain aspect of it, of the grit of it. And like, I knew that a lot of people was going to feel that track. And it gave me a chance more to lean more into Andrew Jackson and be witty.
Yeah.
And the way it came on, it felt like an opener to something else.
And that was also the last track I sent you for the joint, because we was only having 7 tracks.
Yeah.
There's only 7 tracks. Yeah. I was like, nah, we gotta make this shit 10.
Yeah.
So then we went to 10, and then I was like, yo.
I found one more joint. That
was something I made recently, and it sounded like it fit like a Superfly theme and shit. It sounded like some 70s shit.
And Made Men, the whole song Made Men was based off the day we got with KT and all those artists, mm-hmm. and your son.
Yeah.
We did that music.
We did, yeah.
Because
it's
like I went from somebody who was being unknown. Y'all think I'm unknown, but I'm in a room with Made Men. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm around the future stars of the whole DMV, and I'm in places that y'all don't even know about, having mm-hmm. meetings that's going to shift the whole future of everything. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. And the aspect of y'all saying that y'all like the album, you know, because I said rated 10 for the radiance I displayed with a 10, mm-hmm. with a pen. That was a line I made just for y'all, how y'all was giving feedback on the album. They was like, man, I don't know, it could be a classic. And Nick G was like, they come back, say, so I was like, we can put something in there. Yeah. You know what I mean? To give homage to the podcast and people who are listening. Right. Because when artists do that, it let you know that, nah, I hear what you're saying.
You hear it.
I'm adjusting based off feedback, because me coming up and people thinking I'm nice, sometimes they don't want to give me feedback, but I'm like, nah, I want feedback so I can know which way to go.
Negative or positive.
Because then when I got with Judas, like now I got somebody who wants to make a project for us, make a sound for us, make people to come into a universe mm-hmm. of sound, you know what I mean? So when I found Nick G and we did that Superfly, I was like, this is what Judah wants to make an album.
Yeah.
So let's take him into the world of Superfly.
Word.
Right.
Yeah. And also Paul says on that one of his favorite joints his Billionaire Brainwaves. It reminds him of Mo Money and Mo Murder by AZ on Do or Die album.
Yeah, that was a tough track.
And then he said Made Man is his shit too. So yeah.
Made Man was just like, you know what I mean? Like when shit just got crazy in the film. Cause I'm very cinematic with it, and when I hear tracks, I see visuals and shit. Like it don't matter if it's somebody else's song. It's like my mind automatically sees stuff. Moving emotions and how shit could jump
this
off.
Nigga Paul, yo. Hey, yo, you could, you know, I'm just reading the next questions for this nigga, done. Like, so he says, you already answered how has it been working with me? You know what I'm saying? Right. But he says, the chemistry feels organic. Are you a Black and Mild and coffee guy too? Go ahead.
Nah, I do. I do enjoy
and some gummy bears.
I smoke some.
Black didn't even put that shit in there.
Oh my god, that was great. Is that the secret glue to y'all bond of good music?
Black and Mild, Black and Mild, and coffee in the morning,
and some gummy bears.
Like I'm in the studio, like where the fuck am I, Black and Mild? You got everything. I'm in.
Nick, I got one.
Yeah, I can't start until I get my mouth.
And I got a freak to black him out. It ain't shit unless I forget you.
Yeah. I got one.
You want to go outside?
You're my producer.
Yeah. Yeah, I got one. Hold
on. Five inside.
As soon as I hear black him out, tell
whole me. Whole time, that's how y'all linked up. We thinking it's over music.
Nah, I met him at the black him out factory.
Yeah, I got a black. Hey, Pete, you funny as shit.
I got one.
Are you a wood tip?
He said, what can we expect from on Superfly 2 that we've missed on Superfly 1?
TNT.
TNT.
Yeah, just TNT. We built Superfly 2 based off of customer feedback. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? That's a thing that I feel like is missing. I'm not going to say I feel like it's missing. I just think that once them people assigned to them labels, they can't do what they want. You know what I'm saying? So it's like they can't have the budget to do what they want, but we can do what the fuck we want. Mm-hmm. So it's like we can jump right out and do part 2 and not have nobody be like, nah, let's wait a while. And nah.
Also, you can expect some no name features. For real, we got El Camino on this album from BSF, you know, Griselda, you know, Benny's crew and everything. El Camino, we got Big Twins Gambino on this joint, Infamous Mob shit, you know what I'm saying, on this album. Sing Steph came through and did some shit for us. You know, Sing Steph is, you know, Grammy nominated. Salute, you know,
you sing Steph?
Shit.
I ain't know you sing Steph. Shout out to you.
Every now and then,
okay.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. So, you know, we added some. Yeah. And Mom Dukes. Yeah. You right. You
well
know.
Known.
Yeah. Shout out to
you. I got you, Mom. When you watch, you know I look out for you.
Your son got you. I'm sorry, Mom. Yes, my beautiful wife came through, added some additional vocals.
Nick G was like, she was on there when I was on
there. Right, right.
We got married. She was on the album.
So everything, you know, that's some more stuff too that you can expect on part 2 that you couldn't expect on part 1. Yo, for sure.
Yeah, because you know, the feedback was people liked it. Made Men, you know, and I like to build up like a movie. To reel it in because in part 1 you're learning the character, so we don't have to go through that no more. So with TNT becoming in straight explosive, you already know how the universe operates and we can go right on everything because TNT is taking place of the aspect of Priest getting the 30 keys and now it's time.
Yeah, you know? And really like watching the movie is I like TNT better than the first Superfly. I ain't gonna hold you. For real. Like,
I don't know if I've ever seen part 2.
Yeah, so part 2 has, you know,
I mean, I've seen
shot,
clips and I know what, know what it's based on. I read it when you was talking about it.
Rome and Italy. Yeah. Rome, you know.
He went over
that
jump for a minute. Was talking about getting out the game, but coming back. And
he playing cards over that joint, winning the card games. My man Benson played Rafiki and shit. He in the joint, you know what I'm saying? He's a singer and shit that's traveling through and whatever. Like, he's singing Italian music and shit and bars and shit.
That's where I know him from. Straight like that. You can't lock these doors, Joe.
Yeah, the fuck I can.
Facts. Yeah, but that joint, it's a good show. You know, he wound up getting pulled back into the game. Yeah. But it's not on drug shit. It's on like firearms and shit like that for an army in Africa that needs the shit because they at war and they don't have all the shit. They're not getting the funding. So Priest got the bread to pay for these guns and get the shit. Yeah, like so.
I would not have guessed that. I ain't waiting for Steph's face as a crazy comment.
This
nigga is trafficking weapons in Africa.
Listen, what makes it so dope is that the film was like everything that the album had to be.
Yeah,
the Black Panther.
It's like
we're
going worldwide with it. You know what I mean? Because Superfly has done it in the United States. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. So now you got Priest in Rome. Priest ain't driving a Cadillac. Yo, Priest got a Lamborghini.
Yeah, he got
a
Lamborghini in his joint.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So you hear the pace of the album is upbeat. You know what I'm saying? It's not like part one where it's a lot of getting to know. Priest is in a blue Lamborghini, 1969. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? Riding with the fucking the Roman Coliseum in the background when the movie is opening, son.
Hair
blowing in the wind, son.
When the second Superfly come out?
Huh?
I said, what year the second Superfly come out?
It was 78. It was right after the first one. Like 70,
They got the Black Panthers on that script.
I'm gonna go and watch it.
And he shot it himself.
Yeah, right. It's on YouTube. I'll send you the link.
He directed himself.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? So that made it heartfelt to me because me and Nick G directing this joint ourselves.
It's probably on Tubi.
It's dope.
Yeah. It's definitely on YouTube. The whole full album
for
on YouTube.
Sure, it's on YouTube.
Yeah. But that also made it easy to do a part two because there was a part two.
Yeah.
I didn't have to pull clips and skits because you know that's my shit. That's how
I transitioned to beats and, right. and you know what I'm saying? Like,
you could
I
just pull yeah, from part two.
Pull from part two. And it's some good fucking clips in this joint. You know what I'm saying? Some yeah. shit that actually relates, like the opening clip of this album actually relates to today. Period.
So much. Yo, when I hear it,
it's like, yeah.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
Because you know it's almost like Marvin Gaye was going on. When Marvin Gaye was talking about all the problems they had back in the day, and you still know we're going through today, the mm-hmm. taxes, the mm-hmm. way the people ain't got their yeah. money situation. It's like, yeah. the way Superfly is talking, it's like everything is still today.
Yeah.
So it's like when that TNT hitting that drop, it's like, okay, boom. It's that, like, yo, everything is still going on. The game is still relevant.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? These yeah. problems still exist. He can't get out. Because mm-hmm. it's still in his face. He's still mm-hmm. got to keep going to another level.
Yeah, for sure.
So we talked about Superfly 1 and the feedback you got and all of that. So from Superfly 2, what are you looking for?
Like, good question.
What kind of feedback or what kind of doors are you looking for this to open for you?
I already got everything I need in the fact that I satisfied the aspects of what Nick G and Judah wanted to see done with the project. Because that was a TNT. And TNT in the movie stands for that ain't a thing.
Mm-hmm.
So when he asked him, he's like, Superfly, like, Tang, no Tang.
Yeah. That's no thing. That's no thing.
It's no thing for me to be an artist. It's no thing for me to listen. It's no thing for me to follow instructions. It's no thing for me to rhyme on a pattern with the drum loops. You know what I'm saying? So once I know that Nick G and Judah was happy with the project and excited like shit, like kids,
mm-hmm.
with that kind of excitement, then I know that the rest of the world can feel it because they masters at what they do. So I don't have to... You know what I mean? I already know. You know what I'm saying? Like when you throw a rock into a lake, you know what that first wave is going to expand through the whole
mm-hmm.
lake.
Mm-hmm.
So when I know when I hit the core, the planet going to feel it.
Yeah.
Like I was like, damn. I talked to Nick G. I'm like, damn, Nick G. I was trying to wake up Merlin. I think we're wake up the whole East Coast.
Yeah, he definitely hit me.
Yeah, it sounds like you're not looking for nothing specific. It sounds yeah. like you're looking for what's next.
Mm-hmm. And like, the aspect of respect for my team. Mm-hmm. Respect for my team yeah. because... Yeah. My company is Winning Villains. I like to feel like people who feel like they didn't get their shot. That's the people I like to work with because I feel like I didn't get my shot when they turn their back on me because of COVID.
Mm-hmm.
So while Nick G feel like he wanted his respect, when I made this album, I'm like, now I'm going to get his respect. That's what I'm rhyming yeah. for.
This
the respect this of my producers. I'm not rhyming because I fucking think I'm the shit. I never do that. You know what I'm saying? I'm not even a person who got the ego like that. You know what I'm saying? I'm rhyming to make the production sound good. That's why I say I use my voice now as an instrument. So when he like, yo, let's paint like this. I'm like, all right, I'm going to listen.
I just want
to be like, no, this is how we should do it because I see it this way.
I just want people to know that I got some shit. You know what I'm saying? In the day. You know what I'm saying?
You definitely do.
Like, I got like some fire, bro. And I wanted also, like, I'm at the point where, like, I've took a break. A lot of people think I'm not new. You know what I'm saying? I started doing this shit really in like 07, 08.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? I just took a break. I was underneath a different name back then and all that shit. So I just took a break. But I just actually just like zoned in and like worked on my craft. You know what I'm saying? A lot of the motivation came from my son right sitting right here. You know what I'm saying? Knowing that he that knowing that he listens to the music that I listen to, you know what I'm saying? He himself wants to do is doing music and creating shit that's fire. You know what I'm saying? So it was like, yeah, nah, like, you know, it's almost like when your son start balling, it's like, you know, I got to get out here and motherfucking hoop with him and get him trained up and get him right. You know what I'm saying? Because I was
Steph being a boxing expert now.
I actually don't get that.
It's like Steph being a boxing expert now.
That shit don't make me want to do none of that shit.
You know, my whole life, I always wanted to be like you.
Yeah, appreciate it.
That's why. My favorite receiver is Randy Moss. I was like, oh, okay, he running fast like the way you know the way he jump, he mossing people.
He's not Randy Moss.
I went to his flag football game. Went to his flag football game. It's the same style he played with. So
yeah.
Whenever I went out there trying to play football, I try play receiver. So mm-hmm. you know, we had many hospital trips. I wanted to be like him. Even like for a long time, just the posture, the way I would see, like, I would just watch that and just want to do everything.
Yeah,
that,
it's my nigga.
Yeah, do everything he did. And even, he's not new to this. So I got a picture in my phone of me, couldn't have been more than like 2 years old, him mm-hmm. holding me while he had like on the keyboard and like, he's like trying to teach me how to do it, like my little baby hands.
Yeah.
I definitely do. Like, whenever I do an album with him, I didn't want like the front to be.
That's whatever, the cover.
Yeah, that's the cover.
Exactly. Yeah, you already know.
I wanted the front to be that and then the back, whatever picture of us.
Yeah. I'm just trying to, that's the thing too. I think, like you saying, what do I expect Steph, what do you expect from this album? I kind of expect doors to open up.
Right.
Opportunities to come, you know, up front. You know what I'm saying? Like, you know, and or I think more things in the form of opportunities, if that makes sense. You know what I'm saying? Like, shit's been presented. Like, for instance, like, we might be making a move at the end of the month, you know, end of January, to maximize on this album. You know what I'm saying? And it's during the time where shit popping off in that state. You know what I'm saying? So, I don't know. It, you know, it's just shit like that that I see, you know, coming to fruition after this album come out.
Right.
You feel me? Like, I'm creating more relationships on through Instagram with people that I respect, finding out that they like the shit that I'm doing. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to create relationships in different states to where, yo, if I'm out here, I'm coming out here to work. I'm taking work trips.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? We take the vacation trips overseas somewhere. You know what I'm saying? But in the United States, I'm going, like, right now, like, Atlanta, L.A., and New York are the three places that I need to be frequently to be working to create the money and the income that I need to, you know, be able to say, I'm done working. You know what I'm saying? So I'm just trying to plant those, keep planting the seeds and seeing the shit grow. Pause. You know what I'm saying? And
you took the button from me, and you're not even on your
job. There was no way.
He cool.
Thank you. Hey, it was good. There was no way in the world I was getting up here before he said pause himself. That's crazy talk. Yeah. Y'all attackers. That's all. Y'all attackers.
Yeah, but yeah, man. But yeah, I'm this album really too is like I said, from like, I'm just expecting to get respect, bro. Not, you know, not saying like nobody was respecting me, but just knowing like, yo, this nigga got some shit, and this doesn't sound like, you know, everything that's out here. You know what I'm saying? Like and I put my own little twist on it.
To be requested, that was the main thing that always said to me.
Yeah.
Was like, instead of like just being known and in circles, like being requested, I want Nick G for this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Because being requested is when you can start charging.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? When you trying to get stuff out there, it's like, yo, I got some shit that you can sound good on, whatever you throwing it. Niggas might charge you. You know what I'm saying? Right. You know, but it's when they hitting you up, yo, I need some shit for this joint, whatever. That's when you can be like, yo, I need, yeah. Mm-hmm. Because you coming to holler at me for a reason.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Right. So, you know, that's another.
What email address would you like me to send an invoice to?
Yeah, so it's all right, about money.
And the Cash App. No, it's not all about money. Nah.
Nigga don't love this shit.
It's
you don't love this shit. You're lying. You don't love this shit.
Nah, but you know, money at the end of the day, you know, would like to make a living off of what I love. Yeah, you know what I'm saying? For sure, man. Yeah, so.
Because you got a history in music too, though. You're not just, you didn't just start off on machines, though.
Nah, you know what I mean? Music.
So you have a passion.
Yeah.
You just want to do what you were designed to do, or you feel was instilled in you from the foundation. You know, just like me and art and music. It's like I've been doing that since high school. So it's like, if I can't get a penny or something off of it, while I feel like other people are, that I don't feel are qualified or don't respect it as much, then I feel frustrated. Yeah. And that's what it enables me to go on the mic and present it for the people like him who want to represent the way we feel it should be done.
What's the what's the release date for Superfly 2?
Christmas Eve, brother.
Christmas Eve. Yeah. So y'all can get a Christmas gift this year.
Yeah.
Christmas Eve. Make sure
it's
going
to be like when Spike jumped out that fucking Christmas tree.
make sure you go check everywhere and go grab that thing. Yeah. I'm a amen.
Awesome. Say amen.
Let me get it.
Grab that thing.
Awesome.
Yeah.
All right. Okay. That's cool. So we're not gonna promote the album. That's fine. So don't go out there and grab that thing. Nah, we can't do that because that's unacceptable.
Right now, you can't even, you know, physically touch it.
Yo,
you know,
no,
this is crazy. Today's fucked up.
This button made me crazy. About the scenes and everything, like you could have.
Look, you got to download it.
I'm gonna keep it moving. I'm gonna keep it music. All right, I'm gonna keep it moving. I'm gonna keep it music. So there was a rapper who recently came out into the world and said that he was the most influential rapper of all times. His name is LL Cool J. Ladies love Cool James. He thinks he's the most influential rapper ever.
You said important. Important.
Most important.
Important.
Yeah, rapper. His explanation when he was explaining it, that's why I said influential,
was because
he was like, who was the first to do the gold chains? Me. Mm-hmm. Who was the first to do the diamonds? Me. Who was the first to do the champagne? Me. Da, da, da.
Who's
he started naming all
Def
the shit.
Jam started.
Yeah.
Or, okay. Or so is he the most important rapper of all time?
I think he's the most. I think he's the poster boy, the picture perfect rapper of all. Like, he has everything that you will want in a rapper.
A checklist.
Yeah, he marks off all the boxes of when you think of
20 years ago. Yeah, no doubt.
No, I mean, the girls love him. He's marketable.
20 years ago,
he did movies. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? He actually can rap. LL is not whack.
No,
you know what I'm saying?
No.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? Like, yeah, like, so I think he was like the starter kit or the template.
It might be like the most important, like, rap superstar, but like just pure rap.
I would just say the trendsetter. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
he was a trendsetter.
Yeah,
you know, because he came in at 18 and he did a lot of things, but people wasn't around at the time to do it. But Run DMC had gold chains as well.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I mean, respectfully, he give me Soulja Boy vibes. I ain't gonna lie. It's giving me Soulja Boy vibes. Dead ass. I was the first rapper with the big chain. I was the first rapper with the iPhone. Mm-hmm. I was the first rapper with the champagne. We don't believe you. We don't care, bro. Cool story.
I think maybe, I don't know how the last album went, but maybe he feels like he didn't get his proper respect and he just wanted to, in that moment, take a time to be like, hey, don't forget that I did this. Don't forget I did that. Don't forget I did the bad boy image.
He good, yeah, but that's
a different time now.
Yeah, exactly. That does nothing for today's album. That does nothing for today's album. That's cool. Like, we appreciate you, L. Like I said, all the shit Nick was naming, that's cool story 20 years ago. We appreciate you. You did your 1-2. Love the LL. Ain't nobody gonna forget your name.
Right.
Yeah. But today, okay. Like, I mean, nobody really cares about none of that.
Can you tell the story of hip hop without LL Cool J?
No. But does that make him the most important? Because the story,
I think it puts him in the discussion.
Yeah, right.
So if you're in the discussion, then you have an argument for being
a part of the most
important.
Okay, I disagree.
I disagree too. I don't agree with him either, but I'm just asking. Does he have an argument?
Yeah. I don't think so. Because
he's not.
Yeah, and he's not.
He got an argument, but he's not the guy.
Okay.
Like, I don't know if he even has an argument, I feel like, because, again, like you, so to your point of being in the story and not giving him an argument, does the story stop and start with him? Nah, right? The story continues. So any name that we mention in this, in said story is now arguably the most important.
Yeah, because
right?
It also will be like, whoever is held at number one, like, say, for instance, people held Nas as the greatest, right? Mm-hmm. Then they would say that Rakim is the most influential artist of all time
because
he inspired Nas.
Mm-hmm. Right.
See what I'm saying? So it depends on who you got at the top of your pyramid who's going to be able to be the most inspirational person in hip-hop.
Yeah, it's just tough. I mean, if you're saying that the first is the most important, and again, even though he's not the first, I mean, there's no Def Jam without him, like you said. Right. So,
I mean, I would say, at the end of the day, to me, it's Hov. No,
Yeah, but at the same time, though, like it's not the end of hip hop. You know what I'm saying? There's still the and I'll just use this as an example. The Jay-Z's who's was here in the 90s, and if Jay-Z drop a song right now. Today, it's the biggest song on the internet right
it's
now.
It's going to be relevant.
Right. If LL drop a song right now, nobody cares. Fucking cares.
Didn't even know it came out.
Take the Mike Tyson fight. Mike Tyson was the most influential in his time. Fast forward now, Muhammad Ali he inspired more. That conversation. But
that nigga dead.
Who can mention that
he's
yeah, but Ali can't do
but he
that.
Dead.
No. Listen.
LL can't even make this point.
Yeah, no, that's true. That's true, but I mean, I don't think anybody's checking for an LL album as much as they checking for a Run DMC album.
If Ali raised out the grave right now and getting the ring, I think that's going to do more numbers than the Tyson fight.
But he actually came out of the graveyard.
Yeah,
if he comes out of the graveyard,
yeah,
fight.
He can't do it. Because the nigga dead.
He be yeah.
I think this is LL Cool J's issue. Right, like Forbes put out a list of the 50 greatest rappers of all time, and he's number 35 on it.
Word.
That's help. More of his issue than anything. That's what I'm right. Yeah, I think that's what he's saying. I think he's saying, give me my credit for what I did for those that came
for me
after
to be a 35.
Me.
Yeah, I agree. That's fair. That's fair. 35
I think that's
is a little
point,
crazy.
Because he said in the interview, I'm not saying I'm the GOAT.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
That's subjective. That's your own opinion.
Of course.
What I'm saying
of course.
Is
my importance to this game is understated.
Because I think he went with the word important more so. Because I think his what he's going for is more like image based. You know, like the image that he brought like with himself. And hip hop, and hip hop itself, you know, like all right, now, like now we got the girls, now we got this style and stuff, and like the, so the way you said,
that's a good point.
Yeah, because it's removed from the rapping. Because I was going to ask y'all know better than me. Was anyone trying to rhyme like LL after? Because I know niggas was trying to rhyme like Rakim.
Afterwards. Oh yeah, so, for so, sure. His style was definitely influential, but
I was asking. I wasn't going to make the point. God, I wouldn't know.
That's why he battled Kool Moe Dee.
Okay.
Why he was about nigga like they used to
nigga did bring a softer side to hip hop.
He did. Oh yeah, but
all y'all niggas are rapping for the streets,
the Ja Rules in the world,
and all this. I'm gonna rap for the bitches.
Drake is the motherfucking.
Yeah. He's today's LL Cool J.
Right.
Boy is
like LL Cool J. Yeah, yeah. Facto.
Some niggas will crucify you for saying that, but you're not wrong.
The issue is that he said the. That's the issue. He said the most important. I said he was the most important rapper of all time.
He said it was the foregone conclusion.
He should have been. I'm one of the most important rappers of all time, and I would have been silent. I'm 100% with you. Well, sure. You are one of the, sure. But the most important.
I don't think you can come up with a
V. Yeah.
Not because it's so subjective.
I'd probably go Rakim.
It's very subjective.
I'd probably go Rakim for that. Hip hop with somebody because their hero is their hero.
Yeah, for sure.
I don't know. I would have to say with Jay-Z.
Alright.
You know what I'm saying? Just the simple fact because he made motherfuckers change clothes.
This is fact.
He made niggas change clothes, bro.
I started putting on button-up t-shirts.
Yes.
Not t-shirts, button-up shirts.
Yeah.
Go out.
I ain't never seen no button-up t-shirt.
I mean, the club. If I have one.
The club and the time, the era also made you do that shit.
It's a one-on-one. I got one.
You wasn't getting in Dream without one, so.
Yeah.
I feel you. But, yeah.
All right. So the Forbes 50 greatest rappers. I'm gonna go through the first 10.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Just the top 10.
All right. Stop me when y'all got an issue.
From 50 to 40 or from 1 to 10?
I'm gonna go from 1 to 10.
From the greatest to the we work on to the worst.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
So stop me when you got an issue. Hov is number one.
I got an issue.
Yeah.
Oh, great. Okay.
We're gonna have issues all through this joke. Especially through the top 10.
I don't got an issue with that.
Kendrick is number two.
I got an issue with that.
I got a huge issue.
That's crazy. Go ahead, continue.
Lil Wayne is three.
That's crazy.
J. Cole is four.
This list is dumb. Throw it away.
Yeah.
This list is dumb.
Facts.
I don't like it.
Five is Pop. I'm good with that.
Yeah.
Five.
I mean, based on this list, I'm gonna take that.
I'll have Pac on top five.
Go ahead, continue.
Drake is six.
I'm going to bed.
Yeah, nah.
I'm going back to sleep.
Nah, that's crazy.
Seven.
Kanye is seven.
Okay.
I'm not too mad at that.
Nicki is eight.
No.
Good night.
What?
Nicki is eight. Nas is nine.
No.
Eminem is 10.
No.
So let's just dissect the top 10 real quick.
That's why Andrew Jackson is needed.
Close.
That's wild.
The game,
top 10, dog.
I mean, I don't know.
They make you go.
It's only three in their top 10 that's in my top 10.
That actually belong in the top 10.
It's all honorable.
Well, no, four. No, names, it's a.
But it's just a fact.
You said, no, I got four. I got four of their 10 in my top 10.
It's Jay-Z, based on today.
Jay-Z, Eminem, Nas, Pop.
Jay-Z going to be
in my
top
10. Those are only
10.
Four that's in my top 10.
Wayne, not in your top 10?
No, Wayne's my top 15.
Okay.
I think
so. You got M over Wayne.
Yeah, I got M over Wayne. Well, hell yeah.
M who? And M?
Eminem over Wayne. Yeah. All that. Yeah.
You didn't make a list of that Gucci Mane?
For sure.
I don't even make.
Lil Wayne, simple fact, I guess his reunion just happened, but I don't see a lot of people posting Carter 2. But Carter 2, like, is his best album to me, period, ever.
His best album to me ain't even an album. It's a mixtape.
Squad up.
It's a mixtape.
You want a squad up days or something?
I mean, yeah, but
no ceilings.
I couldn't even tell you which one, but Mixtape Wayne is a real nigga.
Oh, yeah, that's a real guy.
Dedication was dope too, but Gilly wrote the whole Carter 1.
Not the whole. He didn't write the whole Carter One. That's just a little extreme.
I don't know. But it seemed like
I do heavily believe he was heavily influential. He was heavily influential. Let's just say that.
Yeah. Carter Two was when Carter Two was when Wayne was like, oh shit, Wayne fucking with niggas not that's know, not man. Manny I mean, Fresh.
The list is also very inclusive of today's rappers and today's that's generation and the younger yeah, people. You so
I get it, point.
But at the same like it. I feel like it's still too early to put Kendrick up there. Drake yeah. might be okay at this point.
Kendrick's
like,
in my top 20.
Right. Like I feel like Kendrick's streaming, yeah, but like Drake's been doing this for a while now. Like he's
Drake's in my top 10.
Drake you go listen to
Drake's in my top 10.
Baby, chill, but that's, everything. That's, like chill. That was so long ago.
No, Drake's in my chill. Top 10. It's not based top off 10, of what I like, it's top, based off results.
Top 10
what I like right, rappers right, right. and or everything.
Artists. Top 10 MCs or artists.
Yeah, yeah.
What's the list? Oh yeah, you know,
I'm not even gonna put Drake as a rapper.
We know, yeah, with Nick,
he wouldn't even make my list.
That's crazy. That's insane.
Kanye wouldn't even make my list neither, for real.
That's crazy. This is absurd. All right, what we got else on the agenda?
Yeah, you know, most of the drugs like the Rolling Stones list and stuff. It's some heavy pandering. But they still got I don't take none of those lists seriously unless I read the criteria.
Nas, Jay-Z, Pac. Put Beanie Siegel up there. What the fuck?
Oh, Bean's not even on this list.
That's what I'm saying.
See, that's what I projected. Yeah, that's right.
Rock Marciano won't hit 37 though.
That's what's up.
That's some pandering though. Yeah, like
he should be up there though.
I feel like that's pandering.
Doom is on here at 26.
Who?
Doom is at 26.
Doom is at 26.
Where Conway at?
Yeah.
There's no way Conway is on this fucking list. List,
no way.
Hey, yo. No way. All right, who? No. 50.
Black Thought's on the list. Yeah, that's a little crazy.
50's in my top 20.
No, because first of all, you got to weigh everything. You got to weigh skills. You got to weigh mm-hmm. record sales.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah.
All of this shit is weighed on this show.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're right.
Talib Kweli's number 50. And Black Thought's not
there. Talib is 50.
Your man is 49. Okay. Young Thug is 49.
Thugger 49. Wait, and this is an all inclusive list? This is not just like this I got bars.
This is 50 greatest this is, that's absurd. Rappers.
Where's Future?
All time.
Where's Future
of
on the list?
All time.
Where's Future on the list? If we all
inclusive, we might have hold up.
Mm-hmm.
Where's Prodigy on the list?
I know he's on here.
Time out, man.
Where's who?
Prodigy.
Not here.
Where's Future on the list?
Where's Sean Price?
Nowhere.
I don't know if Sean P gonna make that.
Future
is 33.
33.
That's crazy.
All right, let's go through 11 through 20 and see who belongs in the top 10.
Okay. All
right,
from
go 11
ahead. Through 20, right? 11 is Andre 3000.
I could never put him on a list because he never put out a fucking hip hop album.
But he's on like 50 albums, which means he's a rapper.
He got features, man.
But he's on. But he's a rapper though.
Outkast, yes.
Just like I said, features.
Biggie is number 12.
Biggie's
number 12.
That's how all of them is.
No, Biggie is number 12.
Biggie's in the top 5. Biggie's top 5.
Yeah, put him up there.
Who else?
I'm not mad at it.
Missy 13, Chuck D 14.
Salute Missy Elliott.
ASAP Rocky 15, Lil Kim 16.
Whoa.
17 is Tyler the Creator.
Mm-hmm.
18 Snoop, 19 Ghost.
Peace
to
Snoop.
I can put Ghost in the top 10.
20 is Common.
I can put Snoop in the top 10 just because Snoop is the biggest fucking superstar. Snoop is.
Yeah,
Snoop is what LL was talking about, my nigga. Snoop, I would expect Snoop to be number one. If Snoop was number one, I would not be mad.
Yeah, because Snoop is with Martha Stewart.
Yeah.
And all that. Every time you turn around, Snoop Dogg is
yeah,
shit. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Like, Snoop is.
That nigga got. Yeah.
Could holding it up Snoop like a baby lion.
How's Lil Kim in the top is teens?
Is DMX?
You seen the phone commercial?
Let me ask you
up like a baby lion.
That's crazy. This is crazy.
23.
List is absurd.
23 and 24 is DMX and 50.
Salute DMX.
Is X ahead of 50? Is X ahead of 50?
I have X ahead of 50, yes.
Oh, yeah. I like X Energy way more
than
Yeah, X is ahead of 50.
X is a beast.
Yeah, yeah. What the fuck
X is ahead of J. X is ahead of J.
That's fucking crazy.
I'm not talking about sales. I'm talking about in the booth.
That's fucking crazy.
In the prime. That's still crazy. Yo, X is ahead of Jake. When X first came out, yo, he said he's gonna push stripes across your windpipe and all that kind of stuff. That DMX.
What we talking about when he first came out? What about the rest of the shit?
I have DMX top.
When he first came out, he was dope.
When it come to Jay, Jay's albums are this. Reasonable Doubt, In My Lifetime, Volume 1, and the Black Album. Then you got Volume 1, Volume 2, with something. The other joints.
Anybody that did this. You know
what I mean? But DMX, when he came out, he kept the same energy.
Anyone that said, Rudolph the Red Nose, disqualified. Disqualified from every list.
DMX top 10. DMX top 10.
Listen.
All right,
fuck out of here. Shout out.
I missed your stuff. DMX is top 10. This is the Halloween episode.
Done.
My top ten is Ghostface, Biggie, Jay-Z, Redman, Scarface, Nas, Tupac, Snoop, Eminem, DMX.
Did Jay-Z say the X beat him?
Nobody said it.
Nigga in high school?
That was a show.
Yeah.
It was recorded.
You talking about
the pool table?
And what about Jay-Z and Big L freestyle?
Big L.
I'm just saying.
That's 1994.
Would DMX have done that in 94?
But
Big L would have smoked him too.
Big
L would have smoked him too.
DMX never deterred when he came out. That's all I'm saying.
Yeah.
Like how Big Twin did. He came out and stayed the same. Like Raekwon, they came out and stayed the same path. They flew straight. DMX had to evolve, went through a lot of ups and downs. DMX didn't pop off, yo, till It's a Hard Knock Life. See what I'm saying, though? DMX come out as a hip-hop Freddy Krueger and got respect from the first song until his passing, son. So I'm going to have DMX overhove, but that's me. That's what I'm saying. DMX, you talking about Rudolph the Red Dog right there, but Jay-Z rapping about paintings on the wall. You know what I'm saying?
I'm cool with that.
You know what I'm saying, though?
Yeah,
DMX stayed the course.
Yeah, but one of them is real life, and the other one is a reindeer with a fucking red nose.
Yeah.
That's the facts. But DMX is being DMX out there lit and trying to be a Snoop Dogg moment and trying to be the most influential of hip-hop, like LL.
Yeah.
And said, let me sing Rudolph Reindeer so I can make a meme moment.
Yeah.
Because somebody's going to remember this when I'm gone.
I'm gonna remember.
We always gonna remember.
It was the dark man. It's a dark side.
Could have been that crack cocaine.
It's a dark side.
What's that? I'm pretty sure he went to Arizona and got locked up and put the pink socks on like 2 weeks later. So.
Oh, yeah.
He said, I ran into the devil in the desert.
Oh, that's DMX, man.
Yeah, DMX.
Hey.
DMX is an artist that I really thoroughly enjoyed when he came out.
His first album is full of
off the needles. He popped off the needles and started hitting the table.
I feel like it was kind of like how Nirvana came into rock and roll. He was just so grungy with it and so different and not afraid to be dark.
Oh, yeah.
Mm-hmm. It was fucking refreshing.
Mm-hmm.
Because it's kind of like now how we enjoy the West Side Guns and the people who take it there, the Conway the Machine. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Everybody wanted to be in shiny suits and shit, but X was like, man, fuck all that shit.
Oh, what? I mean,
smoking a Newport. I'm out here filming movies.
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying? And like doing whatever.
That's like the famous Jay-Z story that he talks about when they were performing.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And I think Jay was on the barbershop or somewhere, wherever he was.
Yeah, yeah.
And he was talking about how X went on before him.
Yeah.
And X went out there and he said he had the crowd in the same set. He had them screaming, laughing, crying, in one set.
Praying. Right.
And praying all in one set. Went out there, John was drinking Alize and fucking Henny, which looked like blood. So it looked like he drinking blood on the stage. Then he running around all crazy. Then at the end, he closed out with a prayer. Then he looked at Jay-Z and said, all right, now you go.
There you go.
How the fuck am I supposed to follow that?
That's why Hov is the go to me.
Mm-hmm.
Because Hov can go through all these eras of different niggas.
And still
be that nigga.
Oh, yeah. Of course.
He can go through X being hot, M being hot, Luda being hot, 50 being hot, Nelly being hot. All these niggas being hotter than him at some point, and he can still remain the fucking baseline.
I just feel like Hov got at least drop one more album or two more because Nas dropped so many when Hov sat down that it's like, he had him on a rope a dope. You know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like, Nas is like, yo, here goes seven more for you, Hov. Take these seven rounds. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? The Pause. Hove ain't said shit since. Pause. So to me, when it goes to the aspect of people being iconic and being most relevant, it's like he had a whole OG classic era, and then when he got with Hitman, he just went on a whole nother run. Mm-hmm. Like the Afterburners on it. Like, where's Hove's Afterburners? Is the GOAT? We talk about the greatest of all time. When we lay these albums out on the floor, who gonna have the most albums on the floor?
Out of you know, I've been wanting to have this convo actually. What's the best out of the Nas and Hit-Boy joints?
Mm. I don't know, cause it's hard for me. Cause when I'm creating, I don't listen to tough. A lot of them. I heard
that's tough. Oh, I got mine off the rip this season.
I like the first Magic. I might say it's gonna be between part two of the what was the
King's Disease?
Yeah, King's Disease 2. Or the first King's Magic.
King's Disease 2 was definitely dope.
I got nice. Three. I got King's Disease 3, like head and shoulders above everything. I got the third one, then the first Magic. The second drum was dope.
I like Lost Tapes Nas. First Lost Tapes.
Oh, no, I feel you. I'm just saying out of the Nas and Hip-Boy drums, because you brought that up.
Nah, yeah. Don't even just grab a bowl drum. Stash some holiday drinks.
I bet.
For another, we got plenty of holiday time.
Yeah.
They're all Christmas related anyway. It's a little early for that. All
right, let me see what we got.
They're still buying gifts. Motherfuckers ain't got their trees up yet and shit. Yeah. You know what I mean?
What we got? I'm going to grab two up out of here.
Yeah, we're going to get two bold questions before we get up out of here.
All right, all
right. Drum roll.
All right, first one is, how do you hope to be remembered?
By being the most influential artist of all time. And when I say that, it means to inspire the people who are working with me and being able to work with them and inspire them to be what they want to be, because that's what all people hope to be who are leaders, who are seen in a leader position, is to inspire everybody around them. So when I get with Nick G, I want to inspire Nick G to be his greatest, because that's going to inspire me to go further. When I'm working with Judah, who's worked with so many artists and has so many talents and so many plugs, I want to be one of the greatest artists he ever worked with and inspire him to know that, you know, the vision he had growing up was closer, that much closer, you know what I mean? And just take everybody up to a higher level, because that's my goal as an artist. Because as an MC, you always big up the DJ when it first started. My DJ is the man, you know what I'm saying? So when I come out with Superfly, a lot of times I'm talking to Judah or I'm talking to Nick G, and I'm talking about things and even talking about us in this room, you know what I mean? About where we're going to go and the moves that we want to make, because that's what makes it relatable. You know, so to be inspirational to everybody you come in contact with is the key. So that's how I want to be remembered, so that when I'm gone and you hear the music, you be like, damn, that nigga right there was a real one, son. You know,
word.
Like, it wasn't just about the music. Like, when he would talk, he was the same. You know what I'm saying? Like, this shit didn't go to his head, because I want Nick G to be straight, because if Nick G's straight, then I know I'm okay. You know what I'm saying? The more people I can make straight, the okayer I will be. So it's not about necessarily me making sure I'm okay, if that makes sense.
Yeah,
so
for sure.
Everybody else is straight.
Yeah, yeah. Steph, how you want to be remembered?
Authentic.
Authentic.
Right.
Authentic. Yeah. You know.
I ain't mad at you.
I try to say stuff to people that I did. Genuine shit.
Right.
Genuine advice. Genuine critiques. Like shit that I would say. I'm not going to say something to somebody else that I wouldn't fucking say to you.
Yeah. Right.
You know what I'm saying?
So just authentic. Right. Just it. Being
yeah, people got away from yourself. That now. I feel like with the social media era, that shit just don't be real no more.
Mm-hmm. You know yeah, what I'm saying? Right.
And that lead to a lot of confusion down the road for people, because they're like, damn, man, you told me this shit was hot. And, you know what I mean? The whole time they gassing you up for destruction, but it's like, you got to have real solid people around you. So like I said, when I got that feedback from Nick G that y'all was fucking with the music, then I was like, all right, man, we can cook, because we got an audience. It ain't about having 1.5 million followers on Instagram. Right. About having your solid core people liking what you're doing, and then we expand it out. Yeah, because if you like it, you're going to put your people on.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? Like, and they're like, damn, that shit is nice. So
yeah, facts.
The word of mouth is what used to carry it back in the day.
Yeah.
That's it. If I say I don't like you or something you did, and you come back to me and be like, I heard you said, I did.
Yeah, this is what I don't like. This is why you're fucked up.
I think I would like to say, productive.
Bonnie, got a last?
You want? Sure. I just want to be remembered. I don't give a fuck. Oh, you can remember me good. You can remember me bad. You remember however the fuck you want to remember me. That's on you. You the one that got to deal with that. But just remember me. Just remember. That's all. Just remember I was here. Word.
Facto.
by my friends and family as stand up man. Mm. It's somebody who helped keep his family together, like blood and non-blood, because had some like different friend groups that don't like each other. By the world is greatest rapper of all time, top 10 producer, somebody who helped free his people. It doesn't have to be the figurehead, is the one who did it, but someone who actually helped tangibly move, you know, like just the revolution and the evolution of his people. And that's kind of like the main.
Got some work to do, nigga.
Yeah, right. Yeah. Powerful.
I love my son.
No, he didn't. Sometimes Nick be like that. Sometimes you know, I got. He said you ain't giving no explanation behind your productive.
Just producing shit that the world needs, man. You know, walking to my purpose and as a creative. You know what I'm saying? Just proactive. Always being productive and doing something that's going to make shit better. You know what I'm saying? Like, yeah. So
constantly moving.
Yeah.
You know, and somebody who could not be stopped by anybody but himself.
Mm. Right.
By himself, really.
Yeah. Bars. Yeah.
All right. Last question, yo. What's your worst tendency and your best characteristic? I'm gonna go first. My worst tendency is procrastination. Is that a tendency?
I think so. Yeah, that makes sense.
Yeah, I tend to procrastinate and wait till the last minute to do shit. But when I deliver, nigga, I deliver. Like, pause. if that requires your a clone, pause.
Man. No, I think that was, you know what I'm saying? I think I was safe.
You know, yeah, my best characteristic is always, I guess, coming through though, Paul, you know, coming like and making this happen, following through. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? Yeah.
We're just gonna go around the circle. Sure. I'm gonna go with my worst characteristic is actually slightly similar to Nick's, in that I feel like I could always plan everything perfectly, and it never works out that way. So I'd be like, bet if I leave at 11:45, I'm gonna get to Steph's house at 12:00, which means we'll be here by this time, and then the 11:45 ends up being 11:55. And then I get to Steph's house and it's 12. All right, now everything's off, but I just knew I was gonna be on time, but it all just fell to shit. I don't know what the fuck my best characteristic is. Thinking. I'm a thinker.
Style.
Sure, that works too. That's a little light, you know what I'm saying? But you know, I was trying to get into my brain, you know what I'm saying, to be a thinker, and you know, but I'm just
something phenomenal.
Go for it. What you got?
I'm dad's clone, man. It's definitely procrastination, but it goes hand in hand. My procrastination is like rooted in the fact that I know I can do anything, so I don't stress.
Like, yeah, no, Booby Miles, baby.
Yeah, I don't stress. I'm show like, up. It's God given. Yeah, exactly. It's like I know I can do anything, so I try to do like 50 things at one time, and like it's just like nothing gets all the way done. But like you said, when it does, it's like absolutely beautiful. It's nothing I can even change about.
For sure. Yeah.
Mr. Muse.
Worst characteristic, common black man problem. Saying I'm okay when I'm not.
Word.
You know what I'm saying? Then people think that you're always okay, or you're always supposed to be okay. And I mean, it's kind of the same answer. Best characteristic is saying I'm okay when I'm not.
Being able to put that front on, continue on with your day, and
act like you have the capacity to take on other people's shit when you don't.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. But you do it anyway because that's your role.
Right.
Mm-hmm. And understanding that role and walking in that role.
Where?
Being a foundation.
That's fair. You might want to talk to somebody about that on Sundays.
Yeah. I know this for a fact.
You know, but
I know this for a fact. But
they offer classes in Alexandria, I'm sure.
And I think of some hotlines you can call too.
Yeah, Steph. Some hotlines, some phone numbers I can get you. Miss Cleo might be able to help you too.
I'm here for you too, Steph.
Call me now for your free reading.
Steph, I'll come back with a wristband. Except I'll come back with a wristband.
Wristband and a little pin.
Locked doors.
A little pin on my hoodie.
What's the question again? What you got? Time
best and worst characteristic.
Your worst tendency and your best characteristic.
Yeah, same difference.
I guess the worst would be just being on the low in the aspect of being an artist. And since I'm from a small town, just kind of hidden. That blending into my personality and me not being somebody who's all about trying to be the star or the center of attention.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Because I'm not really that kind of person who's like trying to be the center of attention or like if it's my birthday and we have a party, I want everybody to have a good time versus them singing me happy birthday and shit.
Right.
You know what I'm saying, though? And I would say the other one would be being empathic, because like I can feel, like when he's talking about his situation, it's like I now feel that. You know what I'm saying? Mm. It's like, damn, I feel for you like you're my brother. You know what I'm saying? Mm. Even though I just met him today, I'm like, damn, y'all. For the rest of the day, I might just think about like, damn, what has he got going on? Okay. You know what I'm saying? But that's my nature.
Yeah, right,
you
know, right,
that's
right.
That's my nature, yeah. though.
Just fucked up his day, Steph.
Come on. It's good because it's good for writing music and it's good for creating.
Not for sure.
It definitely affects me, you know what I'm saying? Because we all go through shit as men, you know what I'm saying? And being that foundation of all things in the universe, you know what I mean? You got to carry the gravity of the world on your shoulders and you got to be okay because you don't have a chance to not be okay. You know what I'm saying? Right. Even though if you're not fucking okay.
Right.
It's like you're at war, and if you're wounded, you got to keep fucking shooting.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? So it's like, I feel for you in that aspect, yo. And it's like, just don't give up, because I've been in shitty-ass aspects of my life, and that's what enables me now to talk super fly and feel good about myself because of what I overcame. It's not because of me thinking I'm a big shot. It's because look how far I made it. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying, though? So all those fucking moments that feel fucked up, that's what make the peace feel that more radiant. You know what I'm saying? Because you're like, yo, man, I feel fucking great now. Yeah. This is lining up. That's lining up. Yo, this shit opened up for me. You know what I'm saying? And then you appreciate it so much more. And gratitude is the fastest magnet for getting everything that you want, because you appreciate everything you have. I don't have a lot of things in my life that I should have at this age, but I'm grateful for what I have, because I have true people around me. You know what I'm saying? Shit that money can't buy. Like people who will sit up and make beats for you when they got a whole family and a whole universe that they got to operate. You know what I'm saying? Him bringing his family, traveling across the highway to follow his dream. So I got to show up, because like you, as men, we carry a lot of shit. So it's like when we see the picture is bigger than us, we had that gratitude to say, you know what? I'm grateful for being a man because I'm able to endure that shit. Although the fucking world might not fucking give us a lot of energy for being men and we might get pushed to the back, we the foundation of the fucking universe. You know what I'm saying? Because all is born through the mind of man. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. Everything that you see is from us putting things in motion.
Word.
And we're not taking nothing from the women's equality and saying, we're not saying they're not powerful, but we're just saying with your power, you know, give some of that power back to your men so that us, we can stand up strong. Because at one time we had that black love and that black unity, and it was powerful. You know what I'm saying? And if we could get back to that, that'd be the balance that men can start feeling good and not feeling like the world is just turning their back on us for paper. And money and shit and like situations, because we all going through the same situation. But they get to vent about it, and as a man, we got to take it on the chin and we got to take all the vent in, and there's no outlet for us sometimes.
That's a whole nother episode.
Yeah,
bro.
I told you, I can talk.
Yeah, for sure.
I come back up here and build with y'all. Y'all not that far away from me, so I just wanted to pull up because Superfly wasn't mentioned as artist of the year, and Nick G wasn't mentioned as producer of the year. So I made TNT to hit you on the face with that shit, man.
Yeah.
Pause.
TNT.
That's the one you caught?
Yeah.
That all?
Whoa.
I caught myself that time. I caught myself because y'all couldn't catch me.
Whoa.
We should get
all right.
On that note.
I'm trying to be kind of courteous with the button today, but you know what I'm saying? At the same time, I was gonna say,
can I say something real quick?
What's up?
Oh, I forgot about it. I had to rush down here because I just woke up. But off an impulsive decision at like 2 a.m, I put out all the instrumentals for the sequencing for the album that I'm trying to like get my mixing and stuff right for. I called the joint Rhyme Soul separately. I put it on YouTube. It's just YouTube is the God Carlisle, which is THA space God space Carlisle. Same thing. I put it on SoundCloud. I forgot I even had SoundCloud. I was like, fuck it, might as well use it.
Check it out.
Okay. Yeah. Check it out.
The show.
Rhyme Soul Separately.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. This has been another episode of A Man Say Man.
It's your boy, man.
Nick G.
Rem the Model.
Steph Muse.
And we out this motherfucker, yo.
Peace.